Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back to another month of the Speak As Well As You Think podcast. Today, we are going to focus on the importance of having a plan, being able to prepare within communications, both from a speaker side and perhaps from an audience side as well. So Matt, I want to throw it to you first to kick off some of your thoughts on going in with a plan.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. And I think the first thing that I think of is the quote that I'm sure we've all heard before, Benjamin Franklin: by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. It's the biggest piece. And I think that a lot of people, when we start off this topic of conversation, are going to relate it back to how much I'm practicing or how much I'm rehearsing. And I think that we want to broaden that range there, because I think it's a lot more than just the practice or the rehearsal side. I think we start off with looking at that presenter and saying, from a preparation side, one, do you know who is in front of you? Mm-hmm. Talking about what they know, understanding what types of information are going to be valuable to them. Because again, the number one thing that we've talked about time and time again is the importance of our audience's time. Yep. If we're not going to make a good use out of that time, we again need to go back to that drawing board and revisit whatever our topic may be. But from that point of view, you're analyzing, okay, what are the two or three major things that they want to make sure I touch upon? Mm-hmm. From there, you can go into that visual message that, again, we know they take maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to create. Sometimes they're quicker, two or three slides, and they may take a day or two.
Yep.
The big thing for us is we don't want you to gear this as a one-size-fits-all. Talking about that audience side that we began with, knowing who's in front of you allows you to tailor that visual piece around those two, three, four pieces that you talked about that your audience may want to hear more than the others. Again, not everybody is going to have these same building blocks that we work off of. Just starting with that audience side, who are they, what do they want, and what level of detail do they know is going to help me to get my foot in the door and say, okay, this is a good use of their time.
And I think building upon that too is, why is this important for them? Either why it's important for them to know, how it's going to benefit them. But the easiest way to get people to pay attention, to listen, to actually stay tuned in, tell them how it's going to help them or what type of benefit it's going to offer. And if you can tell them that upfront, people are much more likely to actually come to your meetings, pay attention, and then walk away with something tangible on, that was a value add or that was really worth my time.
Yeah. And I think going on that, Jen, it's every audience is going to wonder two things before most meetings, most conversations, most presentations. What is this about? This being the content or the message, and then what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Why am I being invited to this? Or why am I a participant in this? Why am I joining this training program? Whatever the scenario or experience could be. But I also like to look at it from another perspective as an audience member. If we aren't the ones going in and having to give the talk, but we're going in and being an audience member, it's interesting to challenge yourself, what things can I do on the front end to prepare for what I'm about to go and listen to? Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll have an active role at some point within that meeting where you might want to share your thoughts or provide a point of view. At other points, you're simply there to listen. But Matt and I just ran a program last week with Johnson & Johnson. And Randy Reed, if you're listening to this, shout out to you from J&J. But Randy said he looked up and listened to bits and pieces of some of our podcast episodes.
Awesome.
And he said, I wanted to get to know who you guys were. I knew you were the ones who were going to be doing the training. I had not been familiar with your company before. But I asked him about this on a break. And I said, Randy, I'm curious, how did you come to know our podcast? Because he referenced it a few times on day one. He said, this is something I do even in my day-to-day in pharma.
Yeah.
If he knows he's going in and calling on a new dermatologist he's not met before, he doesn't have background with, he'll go on their website, whatever the company or the medical professional's website is, and just do a little digging.
Yeah.
A little bit of research. But that way, when he goes in with this to this meeting, he's got something he can connect with, or share, hey, I saw on your bio, you were a graduate at this university. I went there as well, or I studied here. Whatever little bits and pieces that can create some connection can allow you to engage yourself before you go into whatever it is you're going to be a participant of or sit through. And I just thought that was a very unique perspective in terms of how a participant can do something on the front side.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that you mentioned that, John, because that's a big reason that I chose this topic for our podcast, because I recall Randy coming in and being prepared. And I know that there's a lot of courses we do where our listeners, it's not that they're not that prepared, but it's that they don't necessarily have that same baseline. And for us as coaches, and I think that there's a lot of different industries, a lot of different people who can speak to this, when your audience knows something about you or has a baseline about what it is they're walking into, it's a lot easier for you to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Because again, that other side of preparation as a presenter is, what do I want to get out of this? If I'm not checking my boxes, it's not going to be a good use of my time. Again, there's a lot of people who come into these meetings and they walk out and they say, man, that was a good 60 minutes together, but we didn't necessarily hit that nail on the head or accomplish those two or three things we were looking to accomplish. We need to circle back and come back around to that next week. And that's, again, not what we're looking to do in these interactions. We're looking to have singular interactions that aren't repetitive, aren't redundant, and don't take multiple occasions to get to that end goal.
Yeah, you accomplish what you set out to in the time that was allotted the first time. And of course, there's some things that we do need to come back to. A great highlighted point was brought up that, you know what, we really do need to spend some time thinking about that before we make a decision. But I would say those are unique, and more so it ends up getting pushed to multiple meetings because people come in unprepared. And I think that's one of the things. I was with a group last week too, that we were talking actually through the virtual message side, but a couple of them had said, you know, we'll get a meeting invite that has nothing, no information in it. It's just a calendar hold with a title, but then there's nothing about what it is we'll discuss, if the audience needs to be on camera, if they have to be prepared with talking points. They don't even know what type of questions to think about or what type of discussions that they might need to bring and questions they need to ask, because they really don't have any background or context for what it is we're going to discuss or what the purpose of the meeting is. So I think as somebody who's organizing the meeting, don't skip that step. Take 5 minutes and put in even a high-level 2-minute read on here's what the purpose of this meeting is and what we're hoping to accomplish. You can put in a rough agenda, but people don't know how to prepare or how to show up if there's nothing there to tell them. Now, mm-hmm. It's not your fault if people don't read what's in the meeting invite, but if it's not there, they can't do anything about it ahead of time.
Yeah. And from a planning standpoint, I don't think you need to give everything that's going to get touched on. It's a teaser. It's helping people better potentially prepare for the same reason that when most of us go car shopping or go to a new restaurant, at least I can speak personally. If I know I'm in the market for a new car, I'm going to make sure I go on whatever dealership's website that I decide might be most local to me or closest, and just see what options are available. What cars am I interested in first and foremost? What might be on the lot? What is currently getting great rates or maybe specials for year end? But I'm also a planner in all things in life, and I like to plan when I go to a restaurant. I like to look at the website or look at the menu ahead of time. Even if there's going to be specials that day that I don't know about, at least prior to going to the restaurant, I have a general idea of what I might be interested in or what others have said, hey, this is a really good dish, or don't leave without trying this.
Yep.
But we live in an age of information, and knowledge is power, but only knowledge is power if it's applied. And if you don't do anything with the knowledge, then I suppose it's just there for the sake of being there.
And my best friend, if she's listening to this, she will, I'm sure, laugh out loud, but she has said before, it's wild to me that somebody gets invited to go to a restaurant and they don't look at the menu before they get there. Like going in and having it be a complete and total surprise, not having any idea what the cuisine even is or what some of the options are. For her, that is like anxiety inducing. And so it's simply one of those small things that you might check out, even very high level, before you go.
Yeah. And that's, speaking quite literally, that's a big thing for me because my girlfriend has a severe tree nut allergy. So that form of preparation is something that's just built into my daily life. It bleeds into that work side, but it's because, again, when I go out to dinner or when I grab something from the grocery store, there's that little bit of preparation that goes into it because of the thought for those around me. Again, we want to be thinking the same way at the front of that room about those people around us. Another big thing we hear in today's culture is that email is faster than those in-person communications or those group meetings. The reason for that typically is because those group meetings aren't hitting the mark, aren't prepared for, and nobody necessarily knows why they're in that room. We know that synchronous communication is always going to be the fastest way for information to get from point A to point B. The only way that that's going to be conflicted upon is if we don't have a clear line in sight for ourselves as that presenter. Again, if we don't tell our audience where we're going, what we're going to be talking about, or what it is we're trying to accomplish, we're a lot more likely for that to go in whatever direction it may go.
And anyone that's traveled before on an airline, pilots do the exact same process. They look at the flight map ahead of time. They figure out from air traffic control, is this route open? Are there weather conditions in the way? Are there other flights that are having to get delayed because of blank, whatever the weather could be, or late crew coming in? But the planning process is something we see all the time. It's not just specific to communicating, presenting, hosting meetings. And then taking it one step further would be, if we're looking at it from the proactive side of a speaker, yes, it's important to know your audience. Then you figure out, okay, where am I trying to get the audience to by the end of this talk? Mm-hmm. And then you really whittle down which methods are going to be most advantageous or beneficial for the listeners. Yes, you want some visuals, but you don't want to bury the audience in just graphics. You need to have some level of information. But I think in addition to giving information, it can't just be a lecture. So you have to figure out ways that you can get something out of your audience, get them interacted, engage with them in different or unique ways. But all of these pieces are little bits and pieces to a much bigger puzzle. And that puzzle is the effectiveness of a talk, or the opposite. The other side of that spectrum would be people going through something and saying, not time well spent, wasn't well organized, didn't know what the objectives were going into it, didn't know what I was supposed to get out of it by the end. And because of that, I found myself flailing the entire way as a participant, or that participant or the audience that was being spoken to watches a speaker that's going in 10 different directions.
Right.
And all of a sudden, nothing is really conducive to a learning environment because it's just moving either too rapidly or it's too overwhelming.
I'm curious to hear both of your thoughts even a bit more when you look at it on the preparation of looking at that content. John, you touched upon going in multiple different directions. I feel like a lot of that often comes when we are stressed out about the amount of time that we have, or people are trying to fill time. I have seen you two put this into practice numerous times, and I would just love to have you share some of those thoughts and strategies. But preparing for when your content may not run long enough because there's not as much engagement, or you may get more engagement and you're planning on going over time, something of that nature. How do you prepare for budget and such your content for that?
Yeah, I really do think, and this is something that my dad or our dad, Jen and I's dad, put on us early in our careers, was if you're thorough, meaning you get through the material that you feel like is most value add for your audience, you've done your pulse checks, you've checked in with the audience to make sure that things are clear, that there aren't any questions. Filling time is not valuable.
Yep.
Give people back the time that is allowed or available to them, and they'll make use of it in certain ways. But your job is to make sure you bring whatever experience that you had in mind to them. And if you finish early, you finish early. But filling time often gets the concept that we've talked about at length over the past year, I would say, or multiple years, more isn't always better.
Right.
In some cases it is, of course, but usually that's a directive. That would be an audience saying, John, I'd love to hear more. Or Jen, can you go into a bit more detail here? Matt, can you go into a little bit more of a perspective on what you think is important in the building visual messages side? Once you get that green light via a request, by all means, dive in. You can go 12 feet deep. You can go 100 feet deep if you want to. But if the audience has asked things and you've answered and you've given them what you think is enough and you've been thorough, this idea of adding more to just fill time can often derail the experience as a whole.
Yeah.
And then people end up leaving and they think, geez, this probably should have finished, but the plane never landed. It's circled. When you get to your destination, using the airplane analogy, it's awesome when we leave a destination and we get there early. Nobody likes to sit on a plane longer than they need to. And if you are flying from Denver to O'Hare, and that flight should normally take 2 hours, maybe an hour and 45 minutes if you're getting some winds. If you land or get to airspace early, the last thing you want is the pilot to come on board and say, hey, we're in the ORD airspace now. We're 25 minutes early. We're just going to circle, and I want everyone to look out the window and take in the views. No one's going to enjoy that. You're going to hear people moaning and groaning the whole way through. But we hear speakers do that. They look at their clock or they look at the time and they think, huh, we've got about 30 minutes left in this meeting and I'm finished with my stuff. So let me keep adding some here. Likely the last thing the audience wants.
And I just saw a funny meme over the weekend on Instagram, something like, thanks so much, Harry, for giving me time back. I don't know what I'll do with these 3 minutes. And So keep that in mind. Yes, any amount of time back is lovely. You certainly don't want to go over, because it's just like that back in your high school days analogy. If your class goes from 10 to 10:50, at 10:45, you were packing up. You were checking out. You were ready to be done. Even though you're not a 17-year-old kid anymore, you could be 47 sitting in a meeting. And if it's supposed to go from 9 until 10, I can promise you at 9:55, people are packing up. They are ready to go, likely because they probably have something at 10 or 10:05. And so they need to make a quick exit, either from one meeting virtually onto the next, or physically leave the room and walk to a different conference room or back to their office to get on a call. But to John's point, don't force people to stay and listen more to something if what you promised you will deliver has been delivered. You've answered all the questions and comments that people might have. There's no point in just sitting there staring at each other just to watch the time tick by. So give people that time back. I think if we flip it, Matt, to your other point, let's say your meeting is supposed to go from 9 until 10 and it is 9:50 and you still have much more than 10 minutes worth of information left. I think step one, try not to get to that point. Meaning, if you are realizing halfway through the meeting that your time is definitely going to go over, I am not where I had hoped to be at this point, you need to start thinking big picture. And I just talked about this with a group last week, because they said this happens to us quite a bit, where we have 45-minute meetings scheduled and we likely only get 25 to 30 minutes tops. And so you're trying to condense all of your information down. Or what some people do is say it faster. And that's not the right approach. It's not to speak quicker. It's to know your audience, I'm sorry, know your content so well that you can look at a slide or you can think about what's important to share and say, okay, I might not be able to get through all the level of detail that I think is most beneficial for this audience had I had the whole time, but what is the most important thing that I need them to know out of this slide or this section of my content? That's what I need to be able to share. So it's thinking about knowing your information so well and detailed that you can share it in the full length of time, but being able to take that hop up a level on saying, okay, my time's been cut in half. I can still get through and share vital information with you without panicking or without having to speed through it.
Yeah. And we talk about it in our storytelling workshop. If you've got this storytelling model or framework ready, You can give a story in a 30-minute version. You can give it in a 3-minute version. You can give it in a 30-second version. You've got enough understanding and awareness and competency around the content that you can zoom in or zoom out at any point. But if we wanted to use a running analogy, if you've got a goal that you want to accomplish for a 10K run or a half marathon run or a marathon run, you should know where your pacing sits. And then as you're going through mile one and mile two, you're glancing at your watch to check where you are at pacing. As you get to mile four and mile five, you're looking at your watch to check on pacing. If you're going a half marathon, by mile seven and eight, you know that's going to be the uphill climb. Mm-hmm. That's likely going to be the hardest part of your run. You've gotten past that warm-up period, if you will, and now it's time to really settle in, and perhaps some of us, it's time to dig deep. But if we don't know where our pacing is, because you're never looking at where time is, then you might find yourself disappointed by the end of said race. Mm-hmm. When you think to yourself, wow, I really had a goal of an hour and 50-minute half marathon, and here I am at an hour and 56 minutes. Well, guess what? Over the course of 13.1 miles, could you have made up 6 minutes if you had been planning more effectively and checking your paces? Perhaps. But this is where, if you don't, we've said this before, what gets measured gets managed. Mm-hmm. So if you're not measuring and keeping a pulse on things, then it's really tough to manage some of those mechanisms as time goes on.
Yeah. And I think, John, you kind of hit that nail on the head. Rarely, if ever, are people going to be angry that you give them time back. That's really going to be a driver to get them back in the door the next time we want to speak to them. They're going to say, that took half the amount of time it was supposed to last time. I'm definitely going to tag along for that one. Whereas on the other side of the eight ball, if you don't share your full message and they leave with questions and they leave saying, we definitely didn't get the full picture, that's something they're going to notice. So having those different tailored versions, I think, really now gets down into the brass tacks of the latter portion we were talking about of the actual practice. Are we preparing with that content? Do we know that content front and back in a way that, again, we can share it in 30 seconds, 3 minutes, or 30 minutes?
Yep.
If we don't know that content, the answer is likely going to be no, and we're a lot more likely to have them notice they didn't get the entire message than to be able to give them some time back because, like you said, we prepped that cadence and we prepped that pacing.
And we're asked to give workshops to clients quite often, and sometimes it's a 60-minute ask, sometimes it's a 90-minute ask, sometimes it's a two-hour ask. Most of the content is something we already have a session on, but we might only have a 60-minute session and this client wants it to be 2 hours. And so as the three of us go through and build out that content, in this case, expanding it, once we think we have a pretty good idea, we all run through it together to say, okay, what do we think? What are we missing? Is anything too detailed or too repetitive where it doesn't feel like a value add? So we're doing those pulse checks in terms of content, but then whoever's delivering that of the three of us, we're sitting in our living room and we're timing it out. And we're anticipating, you know, this section, okay, from what we call them modules, but different sections of our presentation. This section, as I just went through, it took me 13 minutes and 28 seconds. If I get a question here or there, let's round that up to about 15 minutes. This exercise should be about 8 minutes. So we add that in. And so we're doing all of this to say, okay, based on how I just went through it and said it out loud and practiced it, I'm at an hour and 45 minutes. If it's a 2 hour workshop and I still need to leave time for Q&A at the end and then probably throughout as well, we know, okay, let's go back and tighten a couple areas up because I want to leave enough time, but I don't want to come in and deliver 48 minutes for a 2 hour conference because that's not what they paid for and that's not what they asked for either. So it's being able to practice it and find where am I falling right now and where do I anticipate discussions, as you both mentioned, any type of activity or involvement or questions, and then being able to adjust based on that. But if you don't think about that ahead of time, you don't go through it, you get in there and you have no idea if you're going to come in at 34 minutes or you're going to come in at 3 hours and 34 minutes.
Yeah, Jen, it's a good point. And the next piece or final piece of the puzzle you've got to figure out is how are you going to finish said talk? Mm-hmm. An audience is going to want to know the similar piece. How is this meeting going to end? What might my ask be if it's something like a do this message, or what's the one thing I need to leave with knowing and understanding if it is just more informational? Not to say everything is going to be lecture-based, but from a speaking perspective, if you know how you begin, the middle has a nice way of working itself out. Then you as the speaker need to know where that finish line is. And more importantly, what does the audience need to do with the information, or what certain things need to be done by them to get sign off, get a proposal moving in the right direction, whatever those mechanisms are, depending on the purpose of the talk. But I think if we're looking at it through the planning lens, beginning and middle and end all have to be three parts that need to be figured out and at least somewhat looked at on the front side to say, I know how this thing is starting. Now I know what the middle holds. And at the end, here are the three things I want us to leave with before we finish our meeting, or here's what we're going to talk about next month after we go through project rollout for phase number one. But most of that should likely build off of the content that's already been discussed.
Right. And I think for our listeners, think about it through three different lenses. Answering the question, so what? What is the point of me delivering this information to you? talking about a next step or perhaps when something happens, or answering the question, who needs to do what by when? If you pick one of those three things and answer that, that is a nice close to your talk. I always tell my clients, especially in the visual design section of our executive communication skills course, you don't want to get to that last slide in PowerPoint that's black and says your slideshow has ended in like size 3 font and say, okay, what questions do we have? There needs to be some other type of, and I'm going to say formal close for the lack of a better word, but there has to be a note to your audience that we are wrapping up. It's not just questions, like the word questions on a slide as your finish or your close. So as John mentioned, think about why did I tell you this information? And then try to answer one of those three questions to really have a pinpointed or purposeful end for your audience. And that way they can walk away knowing either what I need to understand about the information, what I need to do with it, what I need to consider or think about or bring back to my team, whatever the purpose of your talk was. All right. So when we think about our plan, we really want to think about it through those three different perspectives. What do I need to think about at the beginning or before I start? That's really going to come down to your audience. On both sides, we talked about as the speaker, how to show up and prepare for the audience you're speaking to. As an audience member, is there anything I can do in terms of showing up to be the best listener and perhaps participating within the content itself? Then we have our middle, understanding what my content is, how to zoom in or how to zoom out when necessary, and keeping in the back of your mind, don't stretch things. If you don't need to, you've delivered everything you have been asked. You've answered everybody's questions. Let people go. Nobody's going to complain about getting more time back in their day. As long as it's not something that was supposed to be a 2-hour conference deliverable and you're coming in at 35 minutes. And then finally, on our closing there, how do I summarize? How do I share a next step? What do I tell you? How do I tell you what to do from here? As always, we're always open to hearing more topics you would like to hear get discussed when it comes to our communication skills space. So if you have anything, please feel free to respond to our newsletter and we will get that in the rotation. Thanks so much and see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.